know where all the static energy in this room is coming from. I'm sick of getting zapped.
I've never got zapped.
Well,
it's the Under Armour shoes.
It's the zapping. Guys, welcome back to this week's after show. So today, there's a few things to catch up on. We've got a ton of listener questions, which is awesome. I've decided I'm going to film some of the after show clips so you guys can witness them on the visual side of things. Probably won't post the whole thing. Might be a lot of content for you guys to get through. But you have been enjoying, just basically from the amount of people that have downloaded it, the Throwback Thursday. Mm. We threw back to Brett Contreras 2 weeks ago, and last week we threw back to Dean McKillop, which was super cool. And that was episode 42.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the different intro and stuff. So, yeah, a lot of good feedback from that episode. So it was great. Thanks for tuning in and listening to some old school stuff. We're going to just keep doing it. Yeah, you guys seem
great
to like
all-time
it.
Episodes.
Yeah. Dude, solid. Mm. Solid. Dean never disappoints. Actually, speaking of Dean, I was in Queensland for a week on a break, a little holiday. Met up with Dean.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Had dinner with him and Lizzie, his partner, founders of Flex Success. I was just kind of figuring out, you know, what's in their world, what's up for them next, that sort of stuff. And yeah, there's a lot of cool things going on for Dean. He was telling me there is like a, for those of you who don't know, he's like a bodybuilding nutrition coach,
yep.
Basically. He's got like a really big IFBB pro that's like going to do really well this year, he reckons.
That he coaches.
Yeah, yeah. And that's going to be like a breakthrough person for him. Mm. Dude, imagine if you coach like Phil Heath. That'd be sick. That'd be sick.
We don't have the black population in Australia.
Nah. But no, I'm looking forward to whatever he's got up to next. Some other stuff I observed on the holiday. Actually, before I even went on the holiday, we both did the City to Surf. You actually did the running version of it. Mm. City to Surf is the world's biggest fun run, by the way. I don't know if that means... I think fun run is just anything under like a half marathon.
Yeah, and it wasn't fun. Yeah. So they got that bit wrong.
How many people? 100,
80,000.
You sure? I think it's more.
Maybe that was last year.
Yeah, I think it was maybe 100,000.
About 100,000 people.
What's crazy is there's so many people out on the street, like you're looking at it, and you're like, this is insane. There's probably like a million people here, but you have no idea, and it's not even that many. Like,
yeah.
It's really not, because right now in Hong Kong, they're protesting. They have hitting millions of people. Like,
yeah, I don't know how that works, because it seemed like there were so many people. I guess the difference is everybody is on one street and they're running.
Yeah. No, but I was on the street when they were walking. Yeah. There were so many people. Hong Kong must be out of control.
Must be out of control.
Dude, because you don't even see 80,000 people once, because you all leave at different times. So if I saw like 40,000 people, imagine what 1.2 million would feel like.
Do you think people in Hong Kong get confused and think it's a fun run? Like, we're protesting for our lives. So I think it's a fun run.
The world's biggest fun run.
World's biggest fun run. No, it's political protest.
No, there's a lot of cops here, as you can see. No, so it was pretty cool. They took... Mm. Did you notice... They probably wouldn't have done this in previous years, but have you noticed the extra security that they have had in the run? Like, in the main streets where you start to take off, when you go down William Street, there's massive trucks, like semi-trailers. Mm. They're parked diagonally across the road so that, you know, some lunatic in a car can't drive through and just wipe out heaps of people. I don't think they would have done that in previous years. Maybe. But with all the crazy shit that's going on in the world.
It does cross your mind when you walk in there. It would not be hard.
No.
And also, I almost feel like, you know, when you walk in and you look like a really determined, angry look on your face, it's hard to tell if you're a terrorist or you're just looking to beat your PR.
So how did the run go?
So, well...
It's 16 Ks, right?
14 kilometers. So it took me 70 minutes. Very unfortunate. So
did you run the whole time?
Ran the whole time.
Okay.
Did not stop.
What's the pace is? It's like faster than jogging, right?
Yeah. So I was in like the slow group because I hadn't done it before.
Yeah.
But I was like, when I started, I was like, you know what? I'll try and qualify for the running group for next year, which is 70 minutes.
Yeah.
So under 5 minute Ks. Didn't think I'd be able to do it because I've done 8 weeks of running to prepare for it. And I hadn't run that fast into it. But took off, didn't stop running. And it's like mostly uphill, and then, as you know, it's like a lot of downhill at the end. So 10 k's in, I was like a minute and a half off it. Thought I'm probably not going to do it.
Minute and a half off what?
Off the pace.
What was the pace?
5 minute kilometers.
You wanted to hit an hour?
No, I hit 70 minutes.
Right.
Under 70 minutes.
Right.
So 10 kilometers, it was like 51:30. I was like, I'm probably not going to do it. But it's like mostly downhill towards the end. So I started sprinting down the hill, and then I see the finish line.
That gets tiring, right? Running downhill? Because you're kind of stopping yourself from falling.
It does. Time. Also, I was just like, I knew I was running out of time, so I was pushing people out of the way at a limb.
Is it still crowded?
So crowded. It was really? So crowded for me the whole way. And then, but this gets worse. So I get to the very end and you're like, think you're nearly done, but you're not done. And then eventually I saw like the exact finish line. I'm like, sweet, that is the finish line. I was like, I probably missed that. I look at my my watch and it's 69 minutes and 40 seconds. I got 20 seconds. And the first thing across my mind is like, that's less than 150 meters. I know Usain Bolt is like 10 second 100 meters. So I'm a little bit slower than that at this point. And this is like straight away. And I just like took off sprinting. And everyone like jogs through the finish line, right?
Yeah.
I was sprinting like 100 miles an hour around the corner. All I could hear was just like screams. People like, what are you doing? And I finished it. It's a bit of a laughing stock because I'm running so fast. And everyone's like, well, you obviously weren't running that fast the whole way.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you would have been, you would have won. Across the finish line. And 70 minutes and 10 seconds.
Oh, fuck. Brutal.
Yeah.
What hurt the most for you? Like, was it your legs? Was it your lungs? Was it your hips? Like, your feet?
It's a good question.
I know what hurt for me. It's my patience.
Yeah. Like, I think that I haven't, you know, so much time heavy squatting and all that type of stuff that I just use my muscles so much to run. So,
what else,
like,
what else would you use?
And quads. I feel like those, like, little people that I see running past me. Are just like springing off their calves. And they just look so light.
Yeah. Your calves are still a muscle though.
I guess so, but... Yeah. You mean like... I don't know, maybe with like the tendons and right. just reactivity in their structures where I'm like... I feel like I'm doing lunges the entire course.
Yeah.
So, my glutes and hamstrings and calves and quads were very, very sore the next day. But it was fun.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I walked. Mm. So, it's a different experience for me. It was a nice walk. Yeah, it was a nice walk. It was a long day. It was about 30,000 steps, I think it was. I worked it out. Maybe a bit less. But the energy and the atmosphere is something that I think is missing quite a bit in Sydney at the moment. Mm. I don't know. It's just one of those cities where everyone's just in their own head and it's busy and stuff. But it's nice to be able to just join together and just do some walking together, do some exercise. Like, it was fun. There was good vibe. There's like music on the way. There's... people dancing and celebrating and cheering and laughing, and yeah, just had a great overall experience.
It was good. It just reminds you, like, health and fitness has got to such a crazy level.
Mm.
Like, everybody's in it. Like, it sells out. It's bigger and bigger every year. It's sold out straight away, this one. I do think it's because, just like with Uber Eats and all that type of shit now, it's like, man,
Netflix.
Man, if you don't have exercise, it used to be like, okay, well, you still, like, walk and do some stuff in your life. Now, it's like, no.
You're more
like,
active, yeah.
Now, there's like, it's, like, forcing you to have an exercise regime because if you don't, you, like, don't leave your bed.
Yeah.
Or you just, like, step onto your, like, motorized thing to get you to work and then order your food.
Yeah.
So, it's, like, all, literally forcing people, like, I have to start exercising.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, I'm literally, like, bedridden.
Well, your phone can feed you, right? It can bring food right to you.
Yeah.
Like, to your hand. And it can bring... a driver right to your feet.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like Uber's, and even, you know, like motorized scooters and bikes now you can pick up. It's like, yeah. You don't even need to walk 100 meters when you find yourself in this sticky situation where it's like not far enough to get an Uber.
Yeah.
There's some motorized vehicle waiting for you.
Yeah. Sticky situation. Like that. Because poor,
you know, they talk about how it was like, I think it was like they say like 100 years ago, if you were like exercising in the street, they like thought you were mad. If you ever did any physical labor that wasn't for work.
Mm-hmm.
Like anyone that did any physical task that wasn't like working, like digging a hole, like farming, they were like, you're crazy.
Right.
Like, you should be working. Like, right. Why are you doing physical labor when it's not work?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was like a foreign concept. And now you've come all the way where there's like zero physical labor as part of your life.
The internet.
Yeah, that you are like, you're forced to do exercise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult. Well, we still have a massive health crisis. Nothing seems to be changing. It only seems to be getting worse. So, what happens next? We're not really sure. I mean, you guys listening to this, you are taking an active approach. Like, you're just different. Like, people that are spending hours listening to us trying to improve their health and fitness, they're already healthy and fit, right? So, it's how do we help the people that, you know, watch Fox News and, like, they binge on Netflix every day and, yeah, they drive a motorized scooter everywhere. Like, those are the people we need to help. Like, how do we get them to start listening to something like this or taking a more active approach to fitness? That's, like, something we just completely forget about. What did bring it to my attention was going to Queensland. I realized... Sydney is a bubble of health and fitness. Mm. Everyone there is like at a pretty healthy weight. A lot of people in Queensland are overweight. A lot of people stopped in at the, what do they call it? Surfers Paradise.
Yeah.
Man, I reckon more overweight people than not. Like it was almost like a fantasy world of just overweight people that like terrible coffee. And what I noticed there was a lot of, it's interesting because when you watch like the news, when you watch like regular TV and listen to the radio in a different part of Australia, they get fed completely different stuff to what we get fed.
They literally get fed different stuff at restaurants as well. Poor quality.
Yeah. But that, I mean, there was not a single ad that I had seen. Well, to be fair, I don't watch many ads, but they were specifically targeting, obviously, the issues, these ads on just free-to-air TV, these issues and concerns of people that live in that area.
Yeah.
A lot of people in that area have fake boobs. And there was a lot of ads for, like, issues and news reports on fake boobs. There was a lot of stuff for, like, heart medication and Voltaren, like, people with, like, knee pain, joint pain and stuff like that. So, I thought it was really interesting that kind of how the media is, like, targeting their audience. They know their audience so well. They know them so specifically. And that's what's scary about it. But one of the other things that I picked up on, I went to, if you guys listening to this, you might be familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk. He's, like, one of the social media gurus of our time, if you want to put it that way. He basically gives some of the best social media advice there is for free. Like, you don't really have to buy anything from him. He does have a company, VaynerMedia, which helps people become better at social media, companies. But outside of that, he's not, like, selling you, like, an ebook or a course or anything. He's just giving you really good information. Anyway, I went to his event, and one of the things he brought up was veganism, which I thought was really interesting. And he's like, if anyone thinks that veganism is, like, a fad, he's like, I'm telling you right now, it's not, and it's not going away, and it's going to become, like, a bigger and bigger movement. And I agree with him. I reckon that we are only at the tip. Like, I remember when I first got into health and fitness, there wasn't even vegan. I feel like vegetarian was, like, the only thing that there was. And then, like, vegan was super rare. Like, I barely heard about it. I didn't know anyone that was vegan. I knew maybe a handful of people that were vegetarian. And even then, it was a bit weird, and they weren't pure vegetarian. I think it was really hard because there weren't a lot of vegan products to support the vegan lifestyle, right? But now we've stepped into this era where I think he's right, man. I don't see it going anywhere at all. I think it's, if anything, it's just going to keep growing and growing and growing. Obviously, the internet and social media has helped portray some of the more pertinent issues with animal cruelty and maybe, like, the sources of where you get your food from. And because of that, marketing companies have realized that, okay, I can make a lot of money off vegan, and they're pushing a lot of these products into the market. So I don't know what this means for the society at large. I think overall, I think a lot of people, if they move to a vegan diet, are probably going to find it very difficult. Like, I think we've talked about this before, right? They're going to find it hard to eat the right amount of protein, get the right amount of nutrients in. It's, like, pretty common that vegans have, like, a vitamin deficiency.
Yeah, it's like over 90% have a vitamin B6 deficiency.
Yeah, and an iron deficiency as well. So that's, like, obviously a major health concern. But I understand the ethical concerns of you know, the treatment of animals. Like, obviously, we choose to eat meat. We try and get it from the best sources as possible. But I sympathize with the vegan movement and people choosing the way they choose. And I'm not going to, like, judge anyone for it. But I just find it's a very difficult thing. And if you're doing it for health reasons, I think then you're mistaken, because then you haven't been given all the right information. And it's a slippery slope.
Well, it is so painful to me when I just see, like, friends and family, whatever, they're like, oh, I've gotten more healthy. Like, I got the vegan chicken nuggets. And I'm like, that is not a healthy food. It is, like, a soy product fried.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry.
And there's, like, stabilizers and emulsifiers and, you know.
And all these places now, like, vegan burgers and stuff. I'm like, hey, the meat was, like, literally probably the healthiest thing in that burger.
Yeah.
Because it was not a very healthy burger to start with, but that one piece of meat was, like, the saving grace.
And it's just so hard to be consistent with it. You end up making so much sacrifice because you're like, I can't eat that. And then you're just left with almost no options. And so what ends up being an option is a very heavily processed food. And that's the thing, is, like, how can you be, like, you want to try and be vegan, but minimize, like, just a rule across whatever diet you choose is reduce heavily processed foods, right?
Yeah, of course.
Eat whole natural foods. And if you do that and you're vegan, man, you're making it very difficult for yourself.
Exactly. You made it hard. And most people suck at their diet already.
Yeah.
So the odds of
most
them,
people don't cook.
Exactly. So it's like, it just takes more, like, 100% you can do it well, but it takes more preparation and organization and all those things that everybody struggles with already.
Yeah.
The thing I would like to know is, with artificial meat, does that count as vegan?
Yeah.
That's vegan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then I would be sold on it if that became readily available.
Yeah.
It'd
be interesting to see what happens when it comes out.
It's vegan because it's not, even though it's an animal product, it's not from an animal. That makes it vegan, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's artificial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you have to. It's like, you don't have to harm or hurt or kill an animal process of eating it.
Well, he's right. I mean, if that becomes super cheap, then Gary will very likely be proven correct.
And you know what was okay? So you know another funny observation that I noticed was, Coke brought out an energy drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was curious, right? So I picked it up. It was in the supermarket, and I looked at it.
They are pumping it,
dude. It It's barely different to regular Coke.
Yeah.
It's barely different. In fact, I reckon you're getting like less value for your money, right? Because how much does a can of Coke normally have in terms of caffeine? Is it like 20 milligrams, 25 milligrams?
35, I think usually. Yeah,
small of caffeine?
Yeah, caffeine.
The new one has 70 milligrams.
Mm. So it's an espresso shot.
Yeah, and it's an espresso shot. But they haven't really changed the product that much, because if you look at all the ingredients, they're exactly the same. They've added a bit of guarana to bump up the caffeine. And that's it. And they've just labeled it differently. Coke is just marketing.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. Is I spoke to a guy who works in that industry, and he is bringing a product to Australia. And he told me that Australia... I don't know how true this is, but I mean, he probably knows his shit. He said Australia is the number one consumer of energy products, counting energy as like stimulant.
Right.
Like basically caffeine, including coffee.
Australia, all together.
Per capita. No, per capita. So right. Per person, Australia has the highest, I guess he's saying, caffeine consumption or spending money on caffeine in the world.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I think it's probably because we drink so much coffee.
Yeah.
But also our coffee is expensive.
Right.
I think it's like that combination like all buying expensive coffees.
But Starbucks is really expensive, and most Americans drink Starbucks. Actually, no, they drink pot coffee.
I think they drink cheap coffee.
But Starbucks, your minimum spend at Starbucks is more than the minimum spend at an Australian cafe. Yeah.
But yeah. I don't think that's the majority of Americans.
No. God, you know what we should get? We should get like a really nice like pot roast coffee setup in our studio so we can just like sip on it all day. That'd be awesome. That was what I got from the Gary Vee event. I got some other stuff as well, but probably not as appropriate for this podcast. And last thing I was going to talk to you about is, I don't know if you saw this, I was just on like men's health and men's fitness the other day on the website. I always like to check what they're doing.
Of course.
It's the same shit, right?
Yeah.
The best one is just how good their headlines are. Dude,
was there a new muscle building program for summer?
Dude, get this headline? Fast abs. That is like the perfect combo. What does everyone want? They want abs. And how do they want it? They want it fast.
It's just keywords now.
Dude,
not even a sentence.
So good. Fast abs. I saw it. I'm just like, people will see that. And
fast abs. Sexy. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Just keywords. It's probably because they've got like artificial intelligence writing the headlines. So it's not
maybe.
Even English
Well, this
anymore.
Was on the front of the magazine. But you know what's crazy, right? Is they must still kill it, right? Because they don't have crazy big social media followings, right? But they always end up, like Vin Diesel's on the front, The Rock's on the front, like Jason Statham's on the front. They're always the biggest names in Hollywood ever. So like they have to pay those people to be on the covers, right? So they must still, however they've transitioned their subscriber base, they've done it very successfully.
Mm.
Like they're still some of the biggest companies in the world. I would like to sit down and talk to them and just... Because, you know, we're in new media, right? We're in podcasting. It's a new kind of avenue, and they're kind of old media in print, but they're kind of making the transition. I would like to know where they're placing their bets, like where they think the next big movement is. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. But one of the things... Anyway.
It is interesting how when you've gone from like the old guard of people like the fitness magazines and stuff to like the new guard, which is like podcasts, the quality of information has improved so dramatically.
Dramatically.
It's not like, it's like a little bit different. You've gone like from pretty bottom of the barrel, just like the same article every month with a slight tweak forever.
Yeah.
To like, you just, you know, having someone like, whatever, Dim McHill up on the podcast or Stuart McGill on the podcast. It's like, it's a different level.
Yeah, it's totally different. And, but anyway, the reason I brought it up is because inside of it, there was a promotion for Lululemon. Dude, Lululemon now do men's... beauty products, like men's like deodorants and moisturizers and skincare and stuff. So you know what I reckon it is?
Mm.
So they've got three products, right? They've got a lip balm, they've got a face moisturizer, and they've got an anti-sweat deodorant. And I reckon that because Lululemon sells most of their stuff to yoga people, right? Like yoga's their biggest market. And what I reckon is like because yoga's become more popular, right? More guys are gravitating towards yoga. And what's yoga? It involves, it's a like really fucking sweaty, right? And it stinks. So
hot yoga, yeah.
I reckon a lot of the women are thinking, well, I reckon they're gathering data of women that are like, okay, yeah, that's cool. Like, man, you want to join us in these yoga sessions? That's great. But you fucking stink and you're sweating all over our fucking joints. So what I reckon they've gone and done is told, hey, Lulu, here's the hint. Men are buying your yoga products. Maybe you should throw in some like anti-sweat deodorant, right? And some nice smelling like face balm and shit. Maybe the
it's like
lip
a community
balm.
Service thing.
Maybe like the lip balm and the and the face products, they're just kind of a cover up. Yeah, but really what they're trying to sell, like, oh, sorry, we're out of the lip balm, we're out of the face product. We do have the anti-stick, no sweat deodorant for men only. You should definitely wear some. Because, I mean, that's just what I reckon. That's smart. It's a smart move. Because guys probably get told off. They're like, man, I feel
just
bad.
All the trick. It's like, oh, you'd be perfect for the lip balm. Oh, we're out of stock. Just take the deodorant instead for now. But, we'll get that lip balm.
You know, it's free. It's free. You go to my studio, it's free. Have like 4 cans. You know, just come as much as you need.
I've never been to Bikram yoga. It must stink.
Bikram?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done it once. It smells at first. When you walk in, you're like, oh. And then you just get used to it.
Yeah, and then your nostrils are just burnt to a crisp.
Obliterated. Yeah. Speaking of obliterated, my nostrils in this steam room. Man, there was something wrong with this steam room on my holiday. You turned it on, but you had to get out to turn it off to stop steaming. So it would just steam continuously. Mm. And it wouldn't like hit the temperature. So it was, and steam burns more than heat.
100%.
Oh man. And we got in. Yeah. And I was sitting there. I couldn't take a breath. I couldn't breathe in through my mouth. I couldn't breathe in through my nose. So I almost completely evaporated myself. Okay. So I do want to get into some listener questions. But I want to talk quickly about some of the products this week sponsoring the show.
So we have True Protein. Some of you, very likely listeners have already won your bars, but they have launched their True Protein bar. They have been, said from what we've heard, selling incredibly well. So they have the salted caramel version and the chocolate version. And I think there's a lot of bars on the market. If you listen to Lockie and I's 35-minute review on the True Protein bars, you'll understand that bars are a constant battle between healthy ingredients and taste.
Right.
And it's so hard to get both.
Yeah. Well, and what was the other factor? It was taste.
Macros. Yeah. 100%. And macros. And getting those three things right is so, so difficult, right? Like, you have the healthiest bar in the world. Perfect macros is probably going to taste pretty poor.
Yep.
So, True have gone for an incredible middle ground, I think, of every single one of those attributes. But we hadn't actually gone through the ingredients. So, what is actually in the bar? And this is everything in the bar. There's no, like, hidden chemicals and preservatives. But they just have organic tapioca, almonds, dates, their own WPC. Obviously, protein.
Whey protein.
Yeah, collagen peptides, sea salt, chia seeds, and coconut oil. And that is the entire bar, which is pretty incredible because it doesn't turn out to be like a crumbly, crap, healthy bar of like real ingredients. It tastes like a proper, nice protein bar.
Yeah. Man, I love it. Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I reckon anyone that wants to give it a shot, just pick up the box. The box is always the best option.
But you don't get the wrong thing when you're out.
Yeah. And I like the sea salt caramel. Raph's a big fan of the chocolate. But it is one of these things. Be warned, if you get into these bars, like if they become a regular part of your diet, it's going to be a brutal exit for them to get out. Like, so you're going to buy boxes regularly. You're going to see 2 bars left, you're going to order again.
100%.
So once you start, you can't stop.
So that's mindmuscle10, trueprotein.com.au.
All right. Okay, we've got some good listener questions this week. There's one buried in the emails that I need to look up, but I'm probably not going to do that right now. So forgive me if you did email in some of the listener questions.
We'll get you next week.
And as far as the apparel goes, sorry guys, I was doing the packing, then I went on holidays, but all the orders that are due will be sent out soon. Now, there were a few new reviews that came through, but there's still some apparel left. There's still a mix of like some hoodies and some long tops, but we're falling a bit short on the shirts and the singlets. But look, if you guys want to leave us a review on iTunes, every week we're going to take the top 3 reviews and we'll pick the top 3, the ones that we liked the most, that we thought the most hilarious. So put a little bit of effort into it and that'll get you noticed and we'll read it out on the show and we'll give you guys a free shirt. We'll send it out.
Awesome.
Cool. So we'll do that next week. So leave us some reviews over the week and we'll shoot out that apparel for you guys. Okay. So first question this week is from Trent Bowies. He goes, goals for the next 5 years. There's a lot of different categories for goals, but because this is the after show, let's maybe talk about probably some training, fitness, training, health and fitness goals.
Yeah, so I've been thinking about some of the fitness ones a lot. I think you know, if you just, for me, definitely like just not doing something challenging with my fitness would be super disappointing. So I really like having things that are challenging. My number one thing that I'm working on right now, that if I was to look 5 years ahead, I would like to have seen a lot of progress in. Is the stuff I'm working on, and we talked about last week, all the spine stuff I've got going, trying to rectify the brutal damage that CrossFit has caused my body.
You're trying to do a...
regrow my pecs and my back, which I'm seeing progress in. I've got some before and after photos that I'm hopefully going to have to share.
Nice.
So I really want to improve that. I have been looking at a bit more of some of the endurance stuff I did. Obviously, the City to Surf. My brother's talking me into a half marathon next month.
Ooh, next month?
Yeah, it's in like 2 weeks. So.
Oh, fuck.
So I'm going to have no preparation for it, but I figure as long as I can beat him.
Did you beat him in the City to Surf?
By 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. You're sorted, dude. He's like an endurance athlete these days.
It's an extra 7 kilometers.
How cut was he when you beat him? Were you talking shit to each other?
I was so relieved. so relieved. That's an extra...
So you've always been the athlete in the family, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's an extra 7 kilometers. I've always been the fitness freak.
Yeah.
Extra 7 kilometers on the run to do a half marathon. So can't go too bad.
Yeah.
I hope not. And I've also really been, I've been delving into a bit of swimming. So I've had swimming lessons, did like a swimming boot camp, and I'm going to start that back up again in October. So some of the stuff that I guess I've always struggled with, like the weights have always come pretty easy, but this other stuff has always been harder. So I think somewhere potentially utilizing more of that stuff is on the horizon.
And that's your 5-year plan.
Yeah, I think probably likely. Like I really like the idea of like having goals, doing things like that that are like really challenging that maybe I struggled with in the past. You know, probably not taking things to like one thing to like an extreme level, but being like, okay, like, you know, I tried that, learned a lot about it, learned it properly, got lessons on it, right. But it's like a good level. That's like another thing now that I can put in my back pocket and do.
Right. That's, you know, that's actually how I feel about a lot of the CrossFit movements, like bar muscle ups and ring muscle ups and a lot of the gymnastic skills, like handstand walking stuff. I don't do them that much anymore, but I feel like if someone was like, cool, jump up and show me like 5 bar muscle ups, like no problem.
Yeah. You know it's so awesome. Like I haven't done some of the movements as well. And I just like jump in a weightlifting class and man, once you've done enough snatches, like you can always snatch 100.
Yeah.
It doesn't go
away. It's like riding your bike.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so good having done CrossFit and like having those skills and being able to jump in with that. And I would like to expand that vocabulary into even more domains.
Mm. Yeah. Into more endurance sports.
Yeah. Or just all different stuff. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I've gotten back into, like I started talking about, I think last week, I was getting back into basketball, some of my cardio stuff. And yeah, it's just nice to put more energy back into a different skill that is like a physical skill. Because it's, I don't want to say mindless, but it's effortless training in a way because it's so enjoyable. It's so fun. And that's what I think you lose that a little bit being in the gym, but honestly, nothing replaces the gym. Like when I have the choice, right, I might be stuck on a day where I'm like, cool, I got an hour left. I'm always going to pick the gym over shooting hoops. Like I'm just a gym rat. It's like how you grew up. We grew up so, I just grew up so comfortable in the gym. Well, obviously, it didn't start comfortable, but now it's just like it's second nature for me to go into a gym and I just feel at home. I know what every piece of equipment does. I know what, you know, this is for and that's for. I know what workout I need. Like, I know what my body needs. I just feel that craving to work out. And it's like something that you can't let go of. Like, when I went on my holiday, I trained every day. And that makes it more enjoyable for me. And some people make the comment, oh, like, oh, that's so weird. Like, when I'm on holidays, I blow out. Or it's like when I don't want to train and that sort of thing. And I go, I just can't enjoy myself if I'm not training and looking after myself physically. Like, I actually train better.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't have other stuff to do.
Yeah, of course.
Train every day, smash get my it. Steps in. Yeah. Like, I eat better, that sort of thing. I end up eating less because there's just, like, less opportunities to eat. But, yeah, overall, like, I just really want to focus on that. So, 5-year goals for myself. It's interesting. I did talk about on the show how I want to recruit Matt's help for the first time, implement a nutrition strategy that's going to be focused on losing weight. So getting a bit leaner.
A bit shorter.
Yeah. Not to say that I'm not happy with my level of leanness at the moment. Honestly, it's not like a huge concern for me. I just feel like it would just be a good challenge for me, something to kind of focus on and be a bit more disciplined. Because like I talked about, I don't have a lot of discipline around my nutrition right now, and I'm not overly struggling with it, but I did have to pull myself up on a lot of things. I'm like, hey, you can't just stop at the petrol station every night and get like a huge oak. Like you didn't train that hard. You don't deserve an extra 700 calories for no reason.
I remember like when I first met you, I'd probably only known you for like a month, and you were like, I've got to coach this class. And you're like, Raph, can you like please drive to the petrol station? Get me some chocolate milk and like drive it back. Like, I can't coach this class without it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh fuck man, this guy like really needs his milk.
Yeah, well I mean that's what insecurities drive you to do, right? They drive you to like, extreme shit.
Please do. Yeah. Like, all right, fine, dude. I like drive. Yeah. Drive 15 minutes, bring back this milk. Like, thank God.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm focusing on in the most immediate term. That's kind of a nutrition goal. And then training is just doing a good mix of like basketball and kind of like bodybuilding. And some strength work as well. Now, I did re-injure my back squatting on holidays. It was very small. It's all right. I rectified it and I back squatted yesterday and I'm sweet. Okay. But yeah, I just went too heavy and I was sitting too long on the airplane in the car. And that combination, my back was just not ready. And I just knew it. I went up and I just felt it a little bit and I just racked the bar and I was like, ah.
It's a good idea. When you get shredded, and then you can kind of do the Joe DeFranco method where you get shredded like once when you're in your 20s. And then you just put it on the wall for the next 30 years. and you just always direct people to that photo.
That's called, what's that called? The Joe DeFranco
method? Yeah, that's what he did. He got like super duper shredded when he was young, like, you know, ready for a bodybuilding show like once, and he's always like, I know what it takes. And I look at the wall and he's like, don't know what I look like now, but this is it. And I think actually
he's got, in good shape, but
no, I think actually recently he was like, that photo is so old now, he like got shredded again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, he got shredded. But it's been like probably 20 years since that photo.
Wow. Yeah, so that, I mean, outside of that, I would like to probably start up maybe in a league in basketball, like have some kind of sport
like
or competition.
The NBA or something.
Yeah, maybe like
a national, some sort of national basketball league. There's one in the States.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking about signing for the Golden State Warriors. They called me, so I was like, look, I'm busy at the moment. I'm doing this podcast. So yeah, I think something like that, putting my energy into, would be fun. Like, I can't imagine doing, like, you just never say never, right? I can't imagine doing like a strength sport, like a weightlifting or powerlifting, just because of my injuries.
Yeah.
But you know, potentially.
I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, new sports and challenges and stuff are arising all the time now.
Exactly.
And I think they're really cool. Like, I just definitely keep my eyes open. And there's so many cool, just like individual competitions that show up. That it's not really a sport, but it's just a thing. And yeah. You're like, oh, I might
like
just give
Spartan
it a
race.
Go.
Or yeah. Yeah.
And you never know what's on the horizon. I think how popular health and fitness is now, that stuff keeps coming up. Mm. And occasionally, you just find one that's right for you.
Yeah, I think the point here is, though, like, we have so much more in our lives now than we did when we were competing in CrossFit, that we have to balance these goals with everything else, which is more of a priority. And so, the minimum is always to, like, get a workout in, stick to your program, feel good after you work out. You know, I wrote a post on Instagram the other day. I'm like, if you write off the rest of your day, you're doing it wrong. We're trying not to write off our entire day after a workout. That's just not a good way to exercise. You want to end up, most of your workouts, you should finish on your feet, not on your back. It's just a really good rule of thumb. That's how you have sustainable training, right? That's how you avoid injuries and that sort of thing. So that's kind of like the broad arching focus of the whole plan. And then the small goals we set along the way, yeah, we'll just see how we go from there. So That was a long answer. Hopefully you feel satisfied with that answer. Next question is from JacobZS_. Oh, here we go. The biggest thing that you guys know now that would have helped you in your competitive CrossFit days?
It's a good question. My initial reaction was SARMs. So I didn't realize how much cheaper that is than steroids.
And that it was legal when we first came into the scene.
So
imagine if you got into the SARMs game that early. You'd be killing it.
Like 09.
Hey, who knows, right? That could have been. So what are you? What's your real answer? What's your
well? Okay,
rule book
first
answer?
Of all, there are the difference in quality of programming and like knowledge around it is insane from when we started. Man, when we started, I see the guys like, because we have some new coaches at the gym
paleo
now,
diet.
And they're like, you know, they're getting into CrossFit, and I'm like, you are doing such better stuff.
Yeah.
Than what we were doing. I would just hit anything. I was just like, it was just as many wads as I could potentially cram in my day. With as few carbohydrates as around those workouts as possible.
You were high-fat paleo.
And we just absolutely went for it because it was so early days. So, obviously, like, the programming and everything would just, like, completely flip on its head.
Yeah. Yeah, programming is probably the biggest one. I think the other one was carbohydrates, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, we just came into it with very little knowledge about nutrition. And we bought into all the zealots. We bought into paleo. We bought into zone. We bought into ketogenic diets. We tried all these diets during competitive CrossFit. And the major thing that they had in common is we didn't really eat enough carbohydrates.
For most of my CrossFit, I reckon I was eating about 20% of what I needed.
Yeah.
So, I was hitting probably like... Oh, no, maybe not 20%.
No, probably like 30%.
30%. Because I was eating like 150 grams to 200 a day. And I needed up to 500.
I would love to have known what my potential would have been if I, ate 500 to 600 grams of carbs a day, like some of the competitive CrossFitters started to do.
Well, I went up to 400 to 500, and it made such a big difference. Like I got less fat, body fat.
Yeah,
I got leaner when I did it, and particularly the early days, because I think first of all in the early days you're more inefficient at the movements, so you actually you deplete your glycogen more because you're so inefficient. You're just like. Yeah, you know, everything is so hard.
Yeah,
I was doing crazy volume.
Yeah, when stuff could be like low percentage aerobic, it ends up being very anaerobic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you kind of like didn't understand pacing, so you just like obliterate yourself. Man, I did 24 workouts in 24 hours.
I remember that. Yeah.
And I barely had carbs during the whole thing. So like I was on like slow cooked pork. 24 watts.
Slow cooked pork.
24 watts.
Yeah.
One day.
Slow cooked pork. I remember we used to. So, for those of you who want a little trip down memory lane, so when Raph and I first met each other, we used to invite each other over for these meals. it was like a tradition that our other business partner and Raf used to do together. Mm. They used to eat these meals, and these giant meals. So I got invited over to one, and this is the meal. The meal is take a slow cooker, put meat in it, put vegetables in it, put everything in it, close the lid, and come back in the evening and eat it, right? So there was like almost no real meal prep that went to it. And then they would just finish, and I would just see him stirring the pot, just stirring the meat fat, the pork, and just all the potatoes and the carrots and whatever else you decided to put in it. You even put vegetables in there and stuff
everything,
like that.
Anything can fit.
And it just became like a massive tradition. The concerning part came, I can't remember what night it was, but I didn't get sick, but I remember that you and Rory got sick, and it was because I think it was maybe the fourth or fifth time. So what used to happen, guys, is Raf would cook the meal, and then usually what happens, what most sane people do, is they pour the meal out. They pour whatever that you didn't eat down into the bin because it's off and you're not going to eat it, right? And you clean it, and then it's fresh and it's hygienic. What you don't do is you don't then, with whatever's left from that meal and still hot and still cooking, do you pour the next meal into it. So you put a new fresh batch of meat and potatoes and whatever else in. That's what Raf used to do. And he just did that nonstop, meal after meal after meal. And I think it was probably like the fourth or fifth time.
Never turned off the slow cooker.
Yeah, you just put a meal in. I think it started to really stink. I remember like it's had a foul smell, and maybe like you guys ate it and you both got sick. And that's when I realized, this guy's crazy. Anyway, that was a tradition. So hopefully that's helpful. Just eat more carbs, man. You have to eat so many carbs that it's like, I can't eat any more carbs. And then when you hit that carbs, point, more you eat more carbs.
And I would have not cared about the first 2 or 3 years of me doing it. I would have like more focused on the long term.
Yeah. But that's hard when you're in it.
Exactly.
Next one. Will Braun asks, what is the minimum/maximum, so I guess he wants both answers, number of movements you should be doing in an 8-week training block? That is an extremely difficult question to answer. The easiest answer is obviously it depends. It depends on your goals. It depends on injuries, circumstances, context, what else is going on in your life, what you've done previously, what you can handle, what you can't handle. So that's a really hard question to get specific on. And maybe if we had more details about what you're doing, then we could get into it more. But look, as a general sort of answer to this question,
have a look how many I've got right now.
If you have fewer movements in your program, but you hit them more often, you're going to get better at those movements, right? If you back squat 5 days a week and that's all you do, you're going to get an overuse injury, of course, but you will get really good at back squatting because you're practicing the skill of that movement very often. So a movement that appears more in that 8-week cycle, the skill of that movement you're going to get better at, whatever it is, whether it's deadlifting, whether it's muscle ups, handstand walking, running, whatever movements it is, you're going to get better at that movement just from the frequency of you hitting it. And then it kind of goes on the opposite spectrum. If you have too many movements, you do need to practice some of these movements, you need to get better at the skill of these movements, then you don't hit them often enough because you're doing so many other movements that you actually don't improve at anything. So there's a fine balance. You don't want too little, because too few, you often get injuries from just like overuse, which is why runners are so injured all the time. And then you don't want too many so that you're just, you know, constantly trying new things all the time.
You just don't improve at the ones you're doing.
Yeah, you need to practice.
You can't even remember what weight you did the time before, and it just becomes like chaotic exercise selection.
A good, I would say, like, to improve an exercise, you want it in your program 3 to 4 times a week. And then if you want to like keep it on maintenance, 1 to 2 times a week.
Yeah. Obviously, it varies between how stressful the movement is.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly.
Would you add anything to that?
Not really. Just that I would say, if I looked back, yeah, it's such a fine line, because it's the ones that potentially can more likely to injure you depending on your body type, are the ones you got to be careful of putting in too frequently. Yeah. And that was like generally the mistake I would make, is something like maybe snatch, that maybe you don't have the wrist mobility, the shoulder mobility for it. Like, yeah, you need it in frequently to get good at it, but you're probably going to get hurt.
But you're not ready for it yet. Yeah. Cool. Next question is from, and this is, it's not a 3-part question, but it's just a long question. This is from Meg Halterra. She asks, Meg Halterra, I think that's right. A lot of people ask how to, and then she just puts in brackets multiple answers, get fit, look good, get strong, etc., but want a quick answer. Do you have a go-to response in these situations? What do you tell people? And she just added at the end, I get this question a lot, and I don't know how to be concise, but also concrete and honest. Okay. So first thing I'll say is you always want to be honest. Like, you should always give what you feel like is your honest opinion. Make sure they know it's your opinion. Sometimes if they maybe question you on it, you can tell them like your experiences with it, or what you've studied, or kind of your credentials. But in a situation like this, Someone that wants a quick answer, my first response to them is re-educating them on the fact that whatever the goal they're trying to seek, it needs to be consistent and take a long time.
Mm.
And that's where I always start with these things. I need to like reframe their expectations because they have the wrong expectations of what they're trying to do. It sounds like however people are pitching you this question, it's not a quick solution. I don't know what the specifics are, but it sounds like the answer is always like, it's going to take a long time. You're going to need to be consistent. And that's the reality. That's the reality of how the body changes. It just can't change that fast. Even people that are enhanced on steroids, they still take a while to get strong. It still takes a while to put a mass. It's still just the body has only a certain pace at which it can change. And to be honest, the slower you make changes and the more consistent you are with those changes, the longer they'll stick around. Think long, slow adaptation is a more permanent adaptation, whereas like fast adaptation of the body can disappear quite quickly. So it has a high attrition rate afterwards. So look, I would just say to that person, yeah, that's how I do it, is like reframe it first. Be like, hey, I'm going to be really honest with you. Your expectations of what you believe will get you this goal in this amount of time is completely wrong. I don't want you to think about it in terms of weeks, days, months necessarily. I want you to think about it in terms of how committed can you be for X amount of years? Because if you're looking at in years, then you're never in a rush. And every time that I've been in a rush to achieve a goal is usually when I get hurt, injured, or burnt out. So as soon as you take, if you take the time frame, you expand it out over years and you help them understand that, hey, like we need to be really consistent at this. And ultimately, you want to do whatever you want to do over a long period of time, then it can be super helpful. The problem is these days is like you can go into your pocket, right? You can pull out this thing called a phone, and you can just go look at 15 people that are already doing it. And some of them might be younger than you. And that could be frustrating, right? Maybe you like have a goal of going to the CrossFit Games. I don't know. Maybe you want to deadlift triple body weight. And there's girls that are 14 that are doing it. And it can be frustrating. That's just the reality of life. That's what happens. Unfortunately, and fortunately these days, you can just go find that on your phone. And it can either motivate you or it can greatly demotivate you. And so it's just kind of the double-edged sword of 2019 of just having access to all this technology. So I can sympathize with, because I get this with other things, you know, with business or whatever else, you look at what other people are doing, you compare yourself and, you know, it gets frustrating. It's frustrating. And it can be, you can get to a point where you feel like, why is this not happening for me? But what's just going to happen for you is going to happen at your pace. And you can only control what you can control. So not worrying about what other people are doing is probably like, really that first thing. And if you maybe ask the right questions, you might find that maybe this person is basing their expectations off what they're seeing with other people. Maybe they follow a certain person or they read certain things and it does have their expectations in the wrong place. They go, okay, what makes you think you can add 40 kilos to your back squat, you know, in 6 weeks or whatever? And they might go, oh, you know, well, this guy, this, this, and this. And then you can probably help them understand that, you know, everyone's different. You're going to have to run your own race and do it at your own pace. So that's probably where I'd start with that question.
Yeah, I think one thing I've been thinking about recently is that, you know, pretty much everyone you see, no one gets fit or gets in really good shape in something like completely by themselves, right? Pretty much everyone ends up like in some sort of community. So my general recommendation is like, hey, you need to go find like some sort of community, whether in-person or online, that you can be part of. So like in CrossFit, people join like CrossFit gyms and stuff, right? And then like everyone around them, like the people, like the mentors in there kind of like show you over time, hey, this is going to take longer than you think. And then it's the same with like, you know, all the people that in endurance, like they all sit on that Strava thing all day and look at like what everyone else is doing. And then within that, there becomes like WhatsApp groups and people that, same thing. Oh, why is it not working? The more like experienced people in there, but like, hey, it's going to take a while. It took me a while.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, for people that are like not into it as much into it as you are into it, you got to try and recommend them to find some like small or large community to be a part of in some sort of fitness that they like. It's like a calisthenics community, whatever it is. But just get involved in something like that and that potentially will get them to do it in the long term.
Yeah, and I think as well what can help is like maybe helping them focus on really short-term things week to week. So they're taking their focus off the like whatever the 6 week or the 12 week or the 6 month goal that they set to themselves, which you may want to set a realistic goal in that time frame. But to take the stress out of that day to day is you might want to focus on really short-term goals. So like behavioral goals. Be like, okay, so did you drink the 2 liters of water in the morning before midday that I told you to? Cool. Did you cut out the 4 coffees and did you just have one today that I told you to? You know, did you warm up for 10 minutes? Did you come in early and stretch out and roll up and prime your body properly? And so those are the things that if people are focusing on those behavioral changes, they can lose sight of the big picture in a good way.
Yeah.
If it's causing like a negative... it's causing like a negative mindset to the whole approach, and just kind of setting their expectations right as well. And then, you know, maybe they don't hit their goal or whatever, but they were focused on the behavioral changes and they're seeing some good differences anyway, and they're happy because they're achieving small goals every day. Like, fuck, you know, I said I drink those 2 liters of water 10 days ago and I did it, and that feels good. It's like a little confidence boost, right? Like just telling yourself, setting out a goal to do something and you achieve it. And even if it's really small, those things start to stack up over time, and that's how you kind of rebuild your identity of what you feel like you can achieve and what's possible. So it does start with those really small things, which can help people a lot. And probably the final thing I'll just add to that is if someone comes in with a goal of like wanting to look a certain way, I never like say, hey, that's like completely unrealistic or whatever. I just say, yeah, like acknowledge it and just be like, okay, and then move the focus over to behavioral change or performance or something else. Let's focus on getting strong. Let's focus on getting your first pull up, that sort of thing. And those things will come naturally. So that's it for this week, guys. What we're going to be doing, we've got some stuff coming up, but what you guys can think about most immediately is we will be putting all of our unpaid product reviews and Netflix reviews just before we get into this final Netflix review. We're going to be putting them all up on our website with like the links to them, because I know some of them are like YouTube clips and stuff, and like our ratings and the overall ratings and the little description of what we thought of it. Because what... I mean, the problem that we face in 2019, it's a serious problem, is like Netflix not knowing what to watch, right? Sitting down at night, you've had a hard day, you've earned it, you've got your peak rest, and you've got an hour to kill, and you just can't pick anything. And then next thing you know, you're starting your movie 45 minutes later because you didn't know what to choose.
It happened to you and me when we were when we're away.
And then you end up losing heaps of sleep.
Yeah.
So we want to make a big library for you guys to go to that you can access. I know we kind of, in the past, we just put you on the mailing list and we sent them out via email. We're still going to do that as well, but we just like want to create a place for you guys to view all those documentary recommendations and the product recommendations as well. So we'll have that up soon, so just hang out for that next week. All right, last part of the show. We've got this documentary review we did. It's called The Great Hack. So it is a documentary about... what's the company called? It's like...
Cambridge Analytica.
That's it.
And how they came to symbolize the dark side of social media in the wake of the 2016 US presidential election, as uncovered by journalist Carol Catawalada.
So what Raf means by that is basically what happened was this company that was really good at social media advertising took all the data of American voters and basically helped Trump, if you could say it was the entire thing. He was losing by the numbers before the vote started, like all the other, however they get their analytics, they're like, it's going to be a landslide to Hillary. So they recruited this company, Cambridge Analytica, and they fed social media advertising and all this stuff specifically to potential Trump voters to help them end up having a landslide victory for Trump. Was it a landslide victory?
No, just won.
Okay.
The point is like, yeah, he just won, but... And that's why it's like, well, you know, it's hard to know how much effect they had, but they at least had a decent effect.
Yeah.
And the fact that he like just won...
was enough.
It's like, well, it probably, you know, amongst other factors, was a big difference, right?
Yeah. Well, what it just shows you is obviously the power of... Because some of the documentary is also set up of just generally, okay, how much data everyone is collecting on you. And like, yeah, this is like a common topic in debate. Like, what are we going to do with all the data points of all these people that we know so much about? And right now, we're just feeding us advertising, which is fine. I don't mind seeing ads of things that I actually would buy rather than seeing things like Coke Energy, which I'm not going to buy. So that's right for now. But when you can weaponize this sort of data, you know, that's when it becomes concerning. Because what you were saying, Raf, is like they can do things where, like, if you're typing in a certain way and they're analyzing your keystrokes and there's like delays, certain delays, and there's patterns showing up in your keystrokes, that it's like early signs of dementia. And then that is taken to a database and that's given to the insurance companies. And then when you go to get like life insurance or whatever, then your premium goes up because they know you have early onset dementia.
Yeah, it's like everything, right? It's like what I realized watching the movie is like, yeah, like the advertising, you're like, oh, whatever. Like I see ads that are more appropriate for me. That's probably a good thing. But I mean, if someone asked you, was like, oh, would you like your emails to all be read so they can know like when you're particularly persuadable to sell you something? You'd probably be like, nah.
Right.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But it's already happening. You know, didn't really have a say in it. And it's like, that's probably the side of it that's like most concerning when you watch it. Is they like know how persuadable you are, different topics. You know, it's like everything, right? And like, they know like the biggest secrets.
Yeah.
You know, if you get cancer and you start Googling and emailing people about cancer, like
they know.
Yeah, they know. Like, it's not like someone's sitting there like, oh, it's got cancer, we found out.
Yeah.
But just like the algorithms and the data on you, like it's so easy for them to pick up on that stuff.
Right. Yeah, it was an interesting doc. I thought it was done really well. I thought they had good camera shots. Like, the film was really good. They put it together well. Yeah. They got some really good, like, tidbits and interviews and stuff. So, yeah, it showed up in my feed on the front page for a good reason. Like, it was actually...
the irony.
It was solid. Yeah, they know what they're doing. Yeah. So, I highly recommend this one. Yeah. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. The Great Hack. I think it's just like one of those, it's just one of these modern issues. There's going to be way more documentaries in the future about this sort of stuff. And these guys just made a really good one for like an important
issue. I'm
going
to give it a 3 out of 5. I did like it, but I think the thing that, it wasn't, I guess, the aim of it, but they just focused on the election, right?
Right.
And the Brexit one. Whereas, I mean, that's a big issue, but I mean, I'm in Australia, so I'm not so worried.
Yeah.
The biggest one more is like the advertising part of this, how like they're just like convincing you to spend more time on Instagram so they can just sell you more ads.
Right.
It's like a direct trade. Like, you waste more time, they get more ad money, which they didn't really go into at all.
Yeah.
Which I think could have made it like even crazier and more interesting.
Yeah. So go check it out. Guys, we'll have that page up for you soon. You'll be able to, our team is working on it at the moment as we speak, building it out. So when it's ready, should be done by next week. We'll have a place you can just go to on your phone and you can just search it, and there'll be like a complete library of all our ratings and all the pros and cons of what we thought of each thing, and yeah, something you guys can use in the future.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll speak to you next week.